Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I commonly like to greet everyone right now here in church. Welcome all of you here this morning. And if in case you're listening to this right now online, welcome also. Thank you so much for tuning in and hearing the Word of God here this morning on this beautiful day. I have a slight continuation from what has been discussed about 2 weeks ago. The Lord brought it back to my attention and He said, speak about this again in a slightly different way for the people to hear. So this message is for someone. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke about a refreshed life, a new living, a new life, a new walk. And one thing that I have come to find out, both by experience and also by studying the Word of God, is that a lot of what we go through directly deals with one thing, and that is our minds. One thing that has a key stronghold in our personality, in our moods, when we have mood swings, in our actions, in everything, in our demeanor, in our humor, or whatever the case might be, it all starts from the mind. And this also translates into our spiritual walk, our spiritual life. And this morning, I want to talk about the new character. That is the title for this morning's message, The New Character. Your new character in Christ. A lot of us have battled mental problems. Now, this could be in a form of depression. This could be confusion. Maybe there was a time where you just couldn't think properly. You couldn't study. You couldn't do this. You couldn't do that. Or it could be something more serious, like serious depression. Depression causes us to do other things, mood swings, or have different reactions towards people. Some people receive comfort from sports. They exercise, 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 exercise. They cannot stop exercising because they got to get their mind off something. Other people become workaholics, and they overwork themselves. Actually, one of my brothers have become that way after the passing of our father. He, all of a sudden, was working 3 jobs. He was pretty much sleeping an average of 4 to 5 hours a day, and then was basically going from one job to another job, already bringing his work clothes with him, and then going on to the next job. I don't know when he found time to take a shower. That's what I wonder the most. Dude, when do you take a bath? There are times when he was caught sleeping in his car before his next shift because he was so tired, but he was going through something. And this is where he found his way out, right? Some people resort to eating comfort foods, things that stimulate the senses and we find joy. We all love a good plate of food, right? We all do. Come on now. Sometimes even a salad smells good. But nonetheless, we all enjoy a good hearty meal, and it's even much more enjoyable when we are eating around people that we care about, that we love. You know, we forget about how hard our day is. We forget about what we are going through. But what I'm referring to is sometimes when we are under depression. You know, I know a couple of people right now, as a matter of fact, I have 2 nieces that, you know, they're going through some tough times and they resorted to eating, you know. And then obviously, you know, the results of that is very, very visual. So what I'm speaking right now is the mind. I want to speak to you this morning about the mind. If we can ever get our minds right, all our lives will be right. I want to start out by saying that. If we could just line up our minds, if we could just get this mind thing going on, let me just get a hold of this. Everything else is going to be okay. It is our thinking that either sets us on the right path or puts us in a path of trouble. We all have gotten in trouble once or twice or thrice in our lifetime. We start out with something that we pondered upon or let ourselves become influenced by bad influences. And in the end, everything comes back to show you how you think about things. If the mind is set right, the rest of the life will follow the course that is originally set by the mind. For example, if you set your mind to right after high school, you are going to go to college, you're going to do just that, right? It doesn't matter what problems I have. It doesn't matter my circumstances. There are some people that are working full time and going to school. This could be young people. This could be people in their 40s and 50s. I recently met someone who's in their 50s, who works, has a full-time job, has had a full-time job for a long time, but has decided in his mind, dedicated himself that he's going to go back to school to finish a particular credit so he can finally get a particular degree that he has been after. But first, one thing had to happen. He had to set it in his mind for this to happen, right? It just doesn't happen casually. Now, moving on to spiritual things, the mind of the lost man will lead him either further away from God and ever even deeper into sin. On the contrary, the mind of a saved person, however, will lead that individual closer to God and even deeper into holiness. It starts out with the mind. We must be decisive and take control of the mind. Every single one of us, folks. I want you to listen right now to what the Bible has to say about this particular matter that I'm referring to right now. My first verse this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to cover a couple of verses here, 3 through 5. And it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." Knowledge of God. Bringing every what? Thought. Every single thought into captivity to the obedience of the Lord our God, of Christ. Notice several things right now about this verse. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, for pulling down the strongholds. Here's where it begins. Is there a stronghold right now in your mind? Listen to what the Word of God is saying this morning. Is there something that is controlling your mind right now from becoming closer to Him? Casting down, we can even say, imaginations. Bad imaginations, false imaginations in your heart that ultimately will go against your deeper communion with God. The Bible says, the knowledge of God. All of us are here this morning to receive more knowledge from God. If in case you are listening to this right now online, you are taking the time right now to listen to this because you want to grow closer to God. Because you want more knowledge of God. Because you want to know His perfect will. Because you want to grow in this faith. And right now, the Word of God says, casting down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. Notice what the Word of God here says. Paul saw himself as a soldier warring against the proud reasonings of man. And what is that? Arguments which opposed the truth. The true character of these arguments is decided in the expression when he says here in the Word of God, against the knowledge of God. It could be applied today to the reasoning of scientists who come against the knowledge of God, who come against the Word of God. They want to prove everything through science, and if it doesn't make sense, then forget about it. The supernatural, the above and beyond, the miracles, they don't apply, they don't exist. That's for those lunatic Christians. It starts out right there. Or the evolutionists. I don't even have to describe those folks. The philosophers. Even the religionists who want to oppose Christianity, who have no room for God in their scheme of things. The apostle was in no mood to sign a truce against such people, but rather he felt committed to bring, and the Word of God says, every thought into captivity to the obedience of God, regardless of what the world is saying right now, regardless of what I'm hearing, of what I'm watching on TV. All men's teaching and speculations must be judged in the light of the teaching of the Word of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul would not condemn human reasoning as such, but would warn that we must not allow our intellects to be exercised in defiance of the Lord and ultimately disobeying Him. Are you understanding this verse here and how it applies to us? Let me show you something else right now in Philippians 4:8. Here's another common verse. Finally, brethren, whatever thing are true, whatever thing are noble, whatever thing are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, this translation says, meditate on these things. On a different translation, it'll say, think about these things. Think or meditate. All things dealing with our mind. Now the apostle gives a close bit of advice concerning the thought life. Here we go. The thought life. The Bible everywhere teaches that we can take control of what we think. Did you know that? The Bible teaches that we can have full control in the things that run through our mind. If in case you didn't know, it is useless to adopt a defeated attitude. It is useless for you to think of yourself or poor old wretched me. I'm so miserable. When is this ever going to end? Why this and why that? It is absolutely useless. Saying that we simply cannot help it when our minds are filled with all of these unwelcoming thoughts. The fact of the matter is that we can help it. And we can come against it. The secret lies in one thing, and that is positive thinking. Positive thinking. It is It is now, just a misspelling here on my notes. It is what is now well known, a principle. The power of new affection. A person cannot entertain evil thoughts and thoughts about our Lord Jesus at the same time. Would you agree with that or not? You cannot be a new creation in God, which I'm going to get to that in just a moment. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot have the Spirit of God, but yet have all these evil thoughts running through your mind, either one thing or the other. Both cannot be in the same mind, occupying the same thoughts. If then an evil thought should come upon an individual, this individual should immediately get rid of it by meditating on the person of God and on the work of God and all that He has done. The more enlightened psychologists and psychiatrists of the day have come to agree with the Apostle Paul in this particular subject right now. They stress the dangers of negative thinking. There is great, great danger when we ponder upon negative things. How am I going to get back to this person? Oh, they're going to hear an earful from me. How can they ask this silly question? How dare they? And then you start thinking about, what am I going to say to them? Or I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Sometimes we think like that. It could be from someone who might have double-crossed us. It could be someone who might have just ticked us off. The Bible says that there's great danger on these things. You do not have to look very closely to find our Lord Jesus Christ in verses 8 right now of what we just finished reading. Our Lord Jesus Christ is all over this verse right here. Right here in Philippians chapter 4 verses 8. It says, everything that is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. What are all these things? These are all things that are found in the Lord. All these things are found in God. I would like for us to look real quick at some of these virtues one by one. I'm going to break it down for you because it's one thing for us to read this scripture and then we just glide right through it, pass right through it, and then go over our heads instead of through it. So let me break it down real quick, one by one. True, right? Means not false or unreliable, but genuine and real. One of the things that we can think about. How can you be more genuine? How can you be more real? How could you be more reliable? Putting away the false, being truthful to everyone. That's one thing that you can ponder and think about because it's one of the virtues of our God. The next thing is noble, which means honorable or morally attractive. Are you a noble person? When someone speaks of your name, does it carry a noble tone next to it? I know people here in church whom, if I think about this particular individual, if someone mentions their name, all of a sudden I attach this character to them right away. Someone who is honorable. Someone who is noble. This is a wonderful character, a wonderful characteristic to have. Do people think of you as someone who's honorable? Think about these things. The next thing I want to bring here to your attention in verses 8 says just, which means righteous, both towards God and also towards men or man. Following pure. Pure would refer to the high moral character of a person's life. Living a pure life. The next thing is lovely, has the idea of that which is admirable or agreeable to behold or to consider. Lovely. Of good report has also been translated as this, of good repute or fair sounding. The next thing that's mentioned is virtue, of course. Virtue, speaking of moral excellence. Notice this word moral popping up continuously. That speaks about a behavior, speaks about a character, a good moral character, moral excellence. And then finally, praiseworthy, something that deserves to be commanded, something that deserves an applaud, a praise, gratitude, a thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for being there. These are all things that the Word of God here at the end of verses 8 says, meditate on these things. Now, do you understand how to meditate on these things? I have a wonderful brother this morning who came and spoke to me and who has experience cleaning carpet. And this is the second time the brother comes to me with this. A few months ago, he came with me with the same suggestion, and that is, Pastor, if in case you want me to help to shampoo these carpets, I am more than happy to help you. I have professional experience to do just that. And he has given tips to the gentleman who is in charge, Brother Donald, to clean the church. And as a result, our carpets have been immaculate every single time we shampoo them. Boy, am I thankful for this, brother. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. But, you know, when I think about the brother, Brother Gary back there, I am thankful for having someone in our congregation who is willing to do this, who has taken the time and set it in his heart to do such a kind deed. This is a pure deed as listed here in the Word of God. It's 100% a loving deed. It is praiseworthy as described here. This is good report. And these are all things that we can do. But it starts with an initiative. It starts with the mind. Now, we can all contribute to the house of God, to the ministry of God. Every single one of us can do something. Every single one of us. It's whatever the Spirit of God brings into your thought at that particular time. Brother Dion, can I please have Ephesians 4:24? Let's move on here because it's already 10 till the hour. Ephesians 4:24 says, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Putting on the new man. And there is something to be revealed right now in all of this. In the Bible, it tells us for us to strip off, to take away the old man of sin, and then we are instructed to put on the new man, as described right now, who is created in the righteousness and true holiness. This new man was born in us when we gave our lives to Jesus. When you dedicated your life to the Lord, when you separated yourself, you put on this new man, and this new man is inside of you. When he was created, we were given the ability to live lives that are pleasing to God. We have this inside of us. When we are saved, when we were saved, I should say, our Lord God made us into a brand new creation. We are brand spanking new. We cannot think the same way. It says it in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All the old stuff, old things have passed away. Behold, everything, all things have become brand spanking new. Brand spanking new. Everything. And that is including your mind, your thoughts, your way of being. This new creature, as described right now in the Word of God, loves God. And he loves the things of God. He desires to serve the Lord. And he has been empowered to walk in the will of God. That is you and I. We have been empowered to do this. Paul says that this new man, which after God is created, after the image of God, after his personality, after his traits, this is your new man. This phrase literally means that the new man was made in the likeness of God. God himself. Now, my question to you this morning is, do you think of yourself this way? Or in your mind, you've got this humility thing, this humble thing, and say, oh no, and all of this and all of that. I could never be like God. I'm not saying that you should exalt yourself like God or exalt yourself above God, because this is what the enemy did. This is what got him cast out of heaven. Because he was made so perfect, so wonderful, so magnificent that he wanted to challenge God and be above him. This is not what we are supposed to do. But nonetheless, you and I have his same character, his same traits. We are according to his image, and we should not exalt ourselves or become puffed up as a result. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he spoiled this image of God in which he had been created. He passed his sins and he warped nature all the way down to the rest of the offsprings to come after him. When we were saved, however, we were created in the likeness of God himself. And we bless the name of the Lord that we are partakers of divine nature. We praise God for that. We are partakers of this. And this is going to be my final verse for this morning. Let me show you this in 2 Peter 1:4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. You are a partaker, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We folks are partakers in all of this. This is the new man that we're talking about. And this is the new walk. This is ultimately the title to this morning's teaching, which is the new character. What is the new character? God who lives in me. The character of God. This is our new character. And it starts with the mind. It starts on what we think. It starts on how we view ourselves. Amen, church? Amen. Praise God. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we exalt you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word instructs. Thank you so much, Lord, that your word applies, every single part of your word, Lord, applies to our lives. Thank you so very much, Lord, that we have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, that we can rely on this new man that lives inside of us. And may this new man, Lord, grow and grow and grow stronger in us. May we change, Lord, the way that we think. May we know, Lord, and be convinced that we are overcomers. May we know, Lord, that we are strong in you. May we rely on you, Lord, consistently. Thank you, Lord, so very much. And as I always say, Lord, we love you. Lord, we exalt you. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.